Alaska is really a remarkable place for that story, and I'm really delighted to be here for that reason, among others. This really represents the best elements of the Indian health system. And as the changes occur, what happens here, I think, will filter through the rest of the system, both positive and negative. Here, Alaska has this really extraordinary system that could be a model in many ways, yet it's not going to have the full funding because Alaska hasn't so far not expanded Medicaid. So the challenges are going to be really extraordinary.
When you look at the relationship that tribes have in Alaska with the state government, and of course, as you know, it's a much different situation here with federal recognition. There is federal recognition of tribes here. What do you think about those comparisons, those dynamics, the state government here and tribes, that relationship, comparing that to tribes in Washington state?
I think it's going to be an issue going forward, primarily because of both subsistence and the Violence Against Women Act. If you look at the broader end game, which is fixing problems, the system that's in place now doesn't work. And some of these solutions working through community-based, through tribal government structures, have a record of success. And so as that starts to become a larger part of the conversation, and I think it will very quickly, because the recent decisions on Violence Against Women Act really highlight the really disproportionate impact on Native women.
There's also been a contentious relationship between the state and tribal courts, tribal law enforcement in villages, because of that sort of, for lack of a better term, kind of gray area about jurisdiction. Is that an area that you think you'll try to address through reporting with students?
It's certainly worth asking questions about. This is a remarkable state because, well, let's just compare it to Montana for a minute. Montana, the native population is only about 7%, so it's significantly smaller. Yet in terms of politics, the state native community has a voice. You have a statewide office holder. You have numerous people in the legislature. You have voting patterns that are pretty pronounced. And that has yet to occur in Alaska. And I think that could be part of it, too, is you don't want to see violence against women and prison populations being your leading indicators. You want it to be a much broader reflection of the state. The thing is, it's better for the state. It's not necessarily just better for the native communities. But I think Montana is a better place because of this conversation they've been having for the last decade.
I realize you've only been here for a very short time, but you've been studying these issues across the nation, tribal issues, for many years. Why do you think the relationship here is so different between the state government and the tribes? It ebbs and flows some, but there's been sort of this history that's been contentious with state government. Why do you think that is?
I think in some ways it goes back to if you go into the 1930s and 40s, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs was deeply involved in the activities of the tribes in the lower 48 and kind of left Alaska off on its own. In fact, Darcy McNichol, who is a self-trained anthropologist and representing the government, took a tour of Alaska and was stunned how little infrastructure there was from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and this would have been in the late 30s. And I think that started it off on a different foot. And then when the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act came, it kind of further divided that. But that yearning for self-governance is universal, and it transcends what the current structure is. And I think that's what we're seeing now is, yes, we have a current structure. Yes, there are corporations that are different. But that doesn't mean we can't make decisions on a local level that benefit a community.
When you accepted the Atwood chair position, did you line out some specific goals and things that you'd really like to accomplish while you're here in Alaska?
Well, I'd certainly like to see more Native Alaska Natives in media. I mean, that's top of my list. I think it's essential. People have not only a right, but an obligation to tell their own stories and to make sure that it's not filtered through other people like my eyes. And so that's certainly part of it. Other than that, I've been really lucky. I've been coming up here on news stories for really 3 decades. And so this is kind of, it just fit in a lot of ways for me.
Talk a little bit about some of those stories that you've worked on that have brought you to Alaska in the past.
Sure. Well, the first was the Exxon Valdez. And I was at the Arizona Republic and had one of the really great jobs in journalism. It was to cover the West. And I kind of defined whatever the West was going to be. So it stretched from Louisiana to Alaska. And I remember at the time thinking I didn't want to get into the gunk of following hundreds of reporters. So I waited 4 weeks until after the cleanup had occurred. And then I picked 5 different communities and went and did profiles and tried to tell the story that way. But I waited till it all kind of started to filter out and people got back to normal life. And that's when I highlighted it. As you mentioned earlier, I came up to work on a film for Frontline on abuse in the Native community. And that was one of those stories where I hadn't written a lot about it over the years. And when it first came up, I thought, I really don't want to do this. And I'm just so glad that I did, because I had my eyes opened and just met some really remarkable, resilient people.
You mentioned earlier that Native people have not only a right, but an obligation to tell their stories. How do you see that in the larger context of journalism, and what non-Native journalists should be doing in that respect? Because there's oftentimes a healthy debate about who should be covering what stories and how.
I think what's essential for non-Native journalists is just to hang out. It's so often it's a crisis-type story. They're dropped in. They're trying to learn everything at once. And that's a recipe for what I call the X factor. The truth plus X equals news. And X, can, you know, from geometry, can be anything. And the less time you have just to hang out and absorb and learn, the less time you have to get the story right. So when there's nothing going on, that's when you should be hanging out with people and learning.
Well, we've talked about several issues with Alaska Native and Native populations generally. And as I said before, you haven't been here that long, but you have been in the state several times. What do you think are the most pressing issues facing Alaska Native people today in our state?
Certainly, having an impact at the polls would be a big one. Governance issues. Some of the governance issues are just starting. For example, what portends with changes in the Arctic Sea, and did ANCSA settle those claims that are offshore? Does that start it all over again? I mean, it raises all kinds of very interesting questions, not to mention the governance issues involving what it's going to impact. I mean, just opening of shipping lanes in the Arctic Sea could impact Native communities in really extraordinary ways.
The Interior Department has allowed Alaska Native corporations to have a seat at the table in certain talks about development, and some of the tribes have expressed a lot of concern about this being kind of a slippery slope in giving a corporation that type of authority that a tribe is normally reserved for tribes. What are your thoughts about how that does or should work?
I think that's really an open question. In the lower 48, the way the Indian Reorganization Act works is that a lot of tribes are both corporations and governments, and they try to act as enterprises. My tribe, for example, the Shoshone Bannock, have hotels and a casino and do things as a government and as a corporation, and that has its own set of problems. So I think it's going to have to be figured out. I don't think there's a straight answer. It's going to take negotiations. It's going to take some experiments. It's probably going to take some practice and failure.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's great to have you here, and I look forward to hearing some of your conversations in the community.
Thank you.